I like the line in the song that says, when we rise in the morning and our duties ring out their demands. Do you ever feel that way? Like the duties of life, the responsibilities of life, they just are very demanding. Well, in order for us to pursue and even do those things well, we must love the Lord at those times, every day and in every way, loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. Well, open your Bibles this morning to Jonah chapter 1, please. Jonah chapter 1. Pastor said I have an extra 10 minutes, but I'll do my best in the next 20 minutes. But it's okay. We don't get out right at noon, right? It's a real joy to be noon, 11. I'm still on Eastern time, I think, at 11. But it's good to be with you. We just finished a summer of 10 weeks of summer camp ministry. It is a real joy for me to hear that you're sending a group up to work at another Christian camp, Camp Joy. We wish we were closer to you, and you could come and help us as well. It's always a tremendous blessing from the director's standpoint. Now, let me just share with you how Camp Joy must feel. So blessed to be able to have you to come and participate in helping them with some projects there, and I appreciate the work that you're going to do. For that team that's going to be going there. I talked with the teenagers about their summer camp experience a little bit as well. Down at the Wilds Christian Camp, we're co-laboring with these other camps. We're not competitors with those camps. And we're thankful for what God has done in Christian camp work all across the country this year. We had over 150 young people come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior this summer. And hundreds of other decisions. We have about 200 campers a week, so roughly around 2,000 campers right there in Ringgold, Louisiana, which is near Shreveport, Louisiana. The Lord moved us there to be the director in 2008. And while we continued to travel in full-time evangelistic ministry, and even one time coming through here, I was directing the ministry there. And then the Lord prospered the ministry. It grew, and we saw that we needed to do one or the other. It was becoming way too challenging to try to handle both of those ministries. So we moved down there in 2014. And the Lord allowed us to move out of the RV for the first time and into a home. And so we're praising the Lord for that right there in Ringgold, Louisiana. And we want to encourage you, anytime you're down that way, to come see us, come visit us, check us out on our website and Facebook. If you'd like to pray for the ministry down there, the ministry we have all year round, we're a full year-round facility running custom camps and retreats. We'll be having ladies' retreats here at the end of this month. And 1st of October, we have a custom camp last week, and I'm back and forth ministering in the churches and ministries that have come to Southland, and I've already tried to put a plug in for Brother Todd to bring the teenagers all the way down to Southland Christian Camp. So parents, help me out. Push that. All right. Listen, I already told you we're co-laboring with those other camps. I'm serious when I say I understand it's a long drive, but they would have a great time. Teenagers, you'd have a great time. Also out in the lobby, we have some CDs. We've been here before, and some of those CDs have been offered to you before. I always hate to say anything about promotion for our own music, but we do believe in the right kind of music. We want to encourage you to pick that up. All the vocal recordings are fully orchestrated and have a combination of our family as well as Mark's family and my brother Matt's family. And actually, my dad sings on a couple of the recordings as well. And then my wife has a couple of piano recordings. And then there's an instrumental recording out there as well. If any of that music can be a blessing to you, we'll be out there after the service. Right there in the center of the table, also some brochures from the camp. You're welcome to pick up one of those. I'll tell you about another thing we're doing called Coffee Helping Camps. If you like coffee, who doesn't? You can order specialty coffee, and in ordering that specialty coffee shipped right to your door, you can choose the camp of your choice to support. And we did this as a way of helping not only Southland, but other camps. And every time you order coffee, it's regular price. The person who started the company is putting all the proceeds back into ministry. And so I encourage you to pick up one of those business cards and check out that good coffee. Jonah chapter 1 this morning. For the reading of the Word of God, verse 1, Jonah chapter 1, the Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was, say the last two words, fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, out loud, please read this question with me. What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call unto thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, sad statement, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord and the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous, and you know the rest of the story, and I won't have Pastor teach me the song this morning. But I am interested to know the different way that you sing, Jonah, Jonah. But we'll get that at lunch, maybe. I don't know. But I want to focus in on this phrase, this question in verse 6. What meanest thou, O sleeper? Do you enjoy sleeping? Got some amens there. Do you hate the alarm clock? Folks, this would not be a good message to sleep in, because today's message is entitled, What Meanest Thou, O Sleeper? My brother Matt, who is 19 months older than me, when we were young, was the guy on the bus trips with our Christian high school that could sleep through anything. He would get under the bus seats in the back of the bus, and while everybody else was carrying on and going crazy and singing songs and playing games, Matt was fast asleep. He was the one that in the mornings made us late to school usually, because we had a hard time getting Matt up. And it was literally us getting Matt up almost every single day. The alarm clock would sound, he'd hit it, he didn't even know that he hit it. He'd hit it again, he didn't even know he hit it. So one time, we decided to go to Walmart for his birthday and get him one of those big, giant metal alarm clocks with the two big bells on the top of it. It didn't do the job either. Now today, if he were still in my home today and I was still his, well, I'm still his younger brother, but if I were trying to still get him up in the morning to go to school, I would go to the internet, to Amazon.com, and order him the hand grenade alarm clock. The hand grenade alarm clock is one that, as a brother, I could pull the plug, the alarm sounds, piercing sonic type sound. You can throw it into the room under his bed, and in order for it to turn off, he has to get out of the bed, find the hand grenade alarm clock, and put the pin back in, which I would have. Or I would get him the what I would call the Roomba. I think that's the name of that vacuum cleaner that moves around on the floor, right? Roomba. I've never had the chance to get one of those. We still push the one we have. But anyway, this alarm clock rolls off the bedside table onto the ground and starts rolling around the room. And in order for you to turn off the alarm, you have to get up and crawl on the floor and find where it is. You can order that on Amazon. But there's a couple other cool ones. One's called the dumbbell alarm clock. You have to do a certain amount of pre-set curls with the dumbbell in order for the alarm to stop. Some of you are getting some ideas for your husband right now. And my favorite for the teens is the math problem alarm clock. This is an app on the iPhone you can get for your kids. Hey, they need to work on their math problems. In order for the alarm to stop, they have to figure out the math problem, solve it right, and in order for the alarm to stop. Those are some pretty classy alarm clocks, I would say. They would maybe get us out of bed. Sleep is a wonderful thing, but can you imagine if you are always asleep? You'd never accomplish anything. I heard it said one time, if we live based upon our feelings, we'd never get out of bed. Isn't that true? We have to say no to our sleep and to our feelings, and we have to wake out of sleep. Now, we're not talking about physical sleep today. Obviously, we're talking about spiritual sleep. And how many of you know today that America is spiritually asleep? How many of you know that American Christianity and many churches are spiritually asleep? How many of you know that a lot of Christian families are spiritually asleep? And how many of you know that maybe you have fallen spiritually asleep? The question today is whether you're awake or whether you're asleep. I hope that we are awake in Christ. Arise and awake out of sleep. And from the life of Jonah today, I'd like us to evaluate whether we're awake or whether we're asleep. I want you to notice three things that Jonah fell asleep to that we often fall asleep to, that America has definitely fallen asleep to, that American Christianity oftentimes has definitely fallen asleep to, for we're no different than Jonah. Oh, we can be really hard on this guy, can't we? I mean, come on, Jonah. God didn't tell you to do something that was very tough. Just he made it very clear and very plain what you're supposed to do. The first thing I want you to notice, Jonah fell asleep to his sovereign God. Jonah fell asleep to his sovereign God. He needed an alarm clock to sound to wake up to who God really is. The first step to an awakening in the United States and an awakening into our own heart is a fearful and awful awareness of the presence and majesty of Almighty God. The problem ultimately is not just our sin, though that's a problem. The problem is that we don't know God the way we should. And revival begins when people begin to know their God. Philippians 3:10 is our theme verse at Southland Christian Camp. We say it kind of like the Wilds does, 1 Corinthians 10:31. We say this verse at every one of our meals, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. We want every person that comes to Southland to understand it's not about Southland, it's not about them, it's about knowing God, taking the next step in knowing God. And that verse talks about being in fellowship even with his sufferings. That's not a good part. That's not a humanly good thing necessarily that we look forward to and anticipate the actual opportunity to suffer literally with Christ. But that is a part of that verse. And in the power, how many of you are glad for the power of his resurrection? We can know God and go through those times of suffering and getting to know God better through suffering when we can understand and know the power of the resurrection, the power of the gospel. And in the book of Daniel, it says, the people that do know God will be strong and do great exploits. The problem with American Christianity is we've succumbed to worldliness rather than walking in knowledge of who God is. And so often we fall prey to this. Now notice with me how Jonah fell asleep to his sovereign God. First, he fell asleep to the word of God. It's in the very first verse. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Now, the Old Testament prophets had the privilege of actually God actually talking to them, speaking to them verbally, telling them where to go and what to do. You say, wow, if somebody would just tell me, if God were just to speak to me and he'd come into my room at night, and, or he'd put it on my television or send me a PowerPoint on my email and he'd show me exactly what to do, then I would do it. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. We have a more sure word of prophecy in the word of God that we hold in our hands today than even Jonah had verbally given from God. That's what the verse means. We have a more sure word. This word that God has given is a book that's been tried and true and sought to be destroyed, but it could never be destroyed. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And when we fall asleep to God, it starts when we fall asleep to the word of God. Now, I might be preaching to the choir because here you are today in church, hopefully ready to hear the word of God. But did you know that you can fall asleep to the word of God even when you're hearing it? For the Bible says in the book of James that we ought not to just be a hearer of the word, but a doer. So we're not just talking about hearing it for knowledge's sake, but hearing it for practical walking with God's sake every day, letting the word of God be something we are giving attention to. You would agree with me that today in our society we have more possibilities as far as studying and hearing and reading the Word of God than ever before. Technology is in our hands and we can take the Word of God with us on our iPhones. We can play it in our cars. We have more access to commentaries, access to spiritual truths on the internet than ever before, yet we live in the most illiterate Bible society known to mankind. And I want to challenge the young people in particular, but all of us today, to be a student of the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, Paul said to Timothy. Love the word of God. Be coming to church with an attitude of, I want to hear the word of God, with a purpose to do the word of God. In Joshua 1:8, you know this. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest deserve to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then what? Thou shalt have what? Good success. Success comes from the word of God. Almighty God has given us all that we need for life and godliness. Jonah turned away from the word of God physically spoken to him. We turn away from the word of God spiritually speaking to us often. And we need to love this book, memorize this book, meditate this book, and not fall asleep to the word of God. It's amazing how many people fall asleep in church, but they don't fall asleep when the football game's going on. It's amazing how many people complain about the pastor going long, and I'm going to try not to today, but I'm not the pastor, so I can go long. But they don't complain when the game goes into overtime. What I'm saying, folks, is what do we love? We need to listen to the word of God. Jonah fell asleep to the word of God, but second of all, he fell asleep to the will of God. And you will never find the will of God without the word of God. Step by step, day by day, as you listen to and apply your heart to the word of God, teenager especially, God will lead you into the good and acceptable and perfect will that he has for your life. Now, the will for Jonah was to go to Nineveh, that city that was that he didn't want to go to. He knew that God was going to send repentance. I can't even believe a preacher that knew there was going to be a revival taking place and he didn't want to go. Many people have speculated why he wanted to go, but I'm not going to go into all of that right now. But probably one of the biggest reasons was that the very same group of people had persecuted his own people, and he knew the prophecies that were going to come, that they were going to again persecute his people. But Jonah, needless to say, knew what the will of God was. It was very plain. Through the word of God, God said, go to Nineveh and preach to Nineveh. And the plain will of God is found in the word of God. Are you walking in the will of God? Do you desire the will of God for your life and in everything? God's will is the best place for you to be. That's safe. There's safety there. When you're in his arms, you can trust God. The Bible says, wait upon the Lord and be of good courage. He will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And those that wait upon the Lord, Isaiah 40:31, will renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Trust in God's good and perfect will for your life. And it begins by you daily doing what God tells you to do in his word. He'd fallen asleep to the word of God, fallen asleep to the will of God. Third, he'd fallen asleep to the work of God. What was the work of God? It was the work of God that he wanted to do through this individual, Jonah. God has a work to do through you. Every one of you is here for a reason. You're on this planet Earth by divine providence. Sovereign God is holding you in his hand. You will die when he wants you to die. You are living because he wants you to live. There is a purpose for your existence, and it is to glorify God. Now, Jonah's existence was to go, the will for Jonah was to go to Nineveh, to go preach to Nineveh, and he went the opposite direction. If you study the maps, and you'll understand that the direction was in the opposite direction. God said, go that way, and he went that way. He fell asleep to the work that God wanted to do through him. Hey, listen, God wants to use every one of you to do something for him. The people around you, the neighborhood you're in, the co-workers you're working with, the family that God puts you in, the future that God has for each of you young people, and the career that you have and the college choice you have is all important because God has a specific designed work that he has for you. Don't fall asleep to it. Follow this path. You fall asleep to the word of God. You ignore it. You think it's boring. You think, man, I don't need that. Then you miss the will of God. And then you miss being able to be a part, glory to God, of the great work of that great God. Paul said that no flesh would glory. It's not about us. We don't work for God so that people can see us. We work for God so that people can see him. And aren't you glad he worked for you? Aren't you glad the cross was done for you? Then you ought to do the work for him. It's not your way. It's his way. And Jonah had fallen asleep to the work of God. Verse 3 says, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, which leads us to our fourth aspect of how he fell asleep to his sovereign God. He fell asleep to the word of God. Have you? He fell asleep to the will of God. He fell asleep to the work of God. And finally, he fell asleep to the wonder of God. The wonder of God was, you can't flee from the presence of the Lord. He said in the end of chapter 1, verse 3, that he was trying to flee, humanly speaking, from the presence of the Lord. Now, we all know God is everywhere and in all places and at all times. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Guess what? Jonah knew that too. Isn't that funny? He knew that, yet he was trying to hide from the presence of the Lord. If it's funny for Jonah, it ought to be funny for you. For you to try to hide what you're doing in your life from the presence of the Lord. Oh, you can hide from your parents, you can hide from your friends, you can hide from your pastor, but you cannot hide from God. And Jonah couldn't. God was with him wherever he went. Whether you're a friend or a fugitive, God's there. He's always with us. Whither can I flee from thy presence? The psalmist said. And the idea there is you can't. If I go into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there will thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. That's really good news to those that are suffering in the hurricanes, to know that God's with them, that God's there for them, that they can trust in Almighty God. He holds that all in his hand. That's an encouraging thing. When we go through trials and things we don't understand, that God is with us. But it's also a very convicting thing when we're running from God and we're sinning and we're away from God and we're hiding things in our hearts and our minds and we're trying to keep things. We're living a deceiving life. God is there. You can't run from the presence of the Lord. The wonder of God. The wonder of God was found in the storm. God controlled the storm. He still does. The wonder was in the boat tossing about and then tossing stuff. And then the wonder later is when God sends a great fish. True story. It's not a fable, fairy tale. It's true. He really lived it. And God controlled it all. There was a great wind in verse 4. There was a great fish in verse 17. God was in charge of the great wind and the great fish. Don't fall asleep to the wonder of God. I think this is one of our biggest problems. We forget who God is. God is a God that's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, 100% holy. We need that today. We need to know the holiness of God. Loving, gracious, etc. Think about all the great character traits of God and don't fall asleep to that. God is your God. He has brought you into a right relationship with Him through His very Son, Jesus Christ. We sang about it this morning. And can it be that I should gain? What do we deserve? We deserve hell, but God, through His love, amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? And I'm glad the Lord did the work for me. I'm glad it was in His will to save me, aren't you? I'm glad through His Word, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, that His work was done in me, and His work can be done in you. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you cannot come to an understanding of the wonder of God until you receive Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died in your place. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But how dare we as Christians fall asleep to that great God? The problem in America is we have fallen asleep to this great God. In Christianity, we've fallen asleep. We claim Christ. We live supposed religion, but we don't get to know God. God must be our focus every single day. As the heart pants for the water brooks, so my heart pants for thee, O God. May that be your heart's desire. Wake up. Don't be asleep. Awake out of sleep. Second of all, he fell asleep to his sovereign God, but second of all, he fell asleep to his own sinful heart. He fell asleep to his sin. Have we not? We live with sin so often. Jonah was living in sin, and he just ignored it. He got away from God. He started going the other way. He got on the ship. In verse 5, then the mariners were afraid and cried. There's a storm going on, and Jonah's asleep in the bottom of the boat. His sin isn't affecting his life. He hasn't even figured out yet that God's the one who's trying to get his attention. He's just asleep in his sin. He's in the bottom of the boat, laying fast asleep. Verse 5 says, the shipmaster has to come to him. Interesting enough, this unsaved heathen shipmaster has figured it out before Jonah's figured it out. He was so in his sin, so asleep to it, that the wicked person, the wicked man on the boat, has to wake him up to it. What's really going on in his life? Oh, we get so callous, don't we? We get so used to our sin. When lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And I want to challenge us all to never get used to our sin. In our flesh dwelleth no good thing. We go the way of our flesh, we will always go the way of sin. There's surely somebody here today that is living and covering up your sin. And I want to challenge you, don't fall asleep to that. You can never sin and win, Evangelist Tom Farrell says. You cannot get away with it. Jonah wasn't getting away with it, was he? No, God was right there with them, and He's with you. He sees everything that's going on in your life. What are you trying to hide from God? He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh it shall have mercy. So he fell asleep to the conflict of his sin. Say, what do you mean? Spirit versus flesh, contrary one to another. With the power of the resurrection, the power of the gospel, we are no longer slaves to sin. Somebody say amen there. Amen. Aren't you glad we don't have to give in to sin? We can be victorious every single day, but we still battle it. We still fail because our flesh profits nothing. We are wicked in our flesh. And so we have to yield to the Spirit of God that's within us as a child of God. If you're here without Christ, you don't have that yet. You can't do anything but sin. For even the plowing of the wicked is sin. Even their daily endeavors without Christ is sinful. Well, that's easy to see in our world. It's easy to see the heathen world, but often covering our own heathen fleshly hearts as a Christian. Don't fall asleep to that conflict. Don't ever get used to that war. Give into the spirit, not into the flesh. He fell asleep to the conflict and he just fell fast asleep, even though God was pleading with him to get right. He fell asleep to the conviction of that sin. He fell asleep to the consequences of his sin that was affecting him. It was affecting the people in Nineveh. It was affecting the mariners on the boat. Your sin does not just affect you. It affects a lot of people. Stories could be told right here. Illustrations of how sin has affected the lives of people. You might cover it for a while, but when it comes to light, it's going to affect a lot of people. Your sin bears its consequences. And Jonah was falling asleep to the consequences of his sin. And finally, he was falling asleep to the confession of his sin. This is a glorious truth of the Scripture. Jonah was able, in verse 9 and 10, it says that he told them about how he was running from God. He finally got it right. Praise the Lord. He confessed his sin. He said, "Throw me overboard." That was him saying, "I'm the one. I'm guilty. The lot fell on me." By the way, they had to cast lots in order for Jonah to finally admit it. That's a sad statement. The lot of the storm and the mess those people were in fell on the one who should have known better. And it says there, why have you done this to us? That's a good question. Why are you doing this to your family? Why are you doing this to the people around you? Hanging on to sin, letting the consequences be as they are. When God is a forgiving God, confess. Confession of sin is a lost art in our world. When you get to know God and you start to see the filthiness of your own heart, you will get on your face before God. As Psalm 51, David prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me." Draw nigh to God, James 4 says, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts. Hands and hearts have to be cleansed. That's God's will. Wake up. Wake up. Is there sin in your heart that needs to be confessed today? Sin of the hands that needs to be confessed today? God wants you to be pure. God wanted to use Jonah. He wanted to send him to Nineveh, but he ran the other way and he fell asleep to his sovereign God. He fell asleep to his sin. And third, he fell asleep to the souls of men. This is all through this text. If you look at the very end of the book of Jonah, you'll find that in Jonah, the last verse says, "And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" In other words, there were 120,000 people plus all the children. He had fallen asleep to the needs of those people. Here's the thing I can't even figure out. Here's a prophet of God who is being sent to a nation of 120,000 plus children. And he knows that God's going to send repentance and he still doesn't want to go. Can you see how callous that is? Can you see how cold that is? He fell asleep to loving people. He fell asleep to the needs of those people in Nineveh. Then he goes the other way and he walks right past these wicked men on the boat. He just goes right down and falls asleep. He missed that opportunity initially. And finally, he wakes up and he realizes he's the problem. He wakes up to his sin. He wakes up to his sovereign God. And I do think he finally woke up to the souls of men too, because these men were like praying to their little g God. In verse 5, it says they prayed unto their God, and it's little g. And then he said in verse 6, they woke up Jonah and said, "Pray unto your God," capital G. They had tried their religion, they had tried their God, and nothing was happening. They knew something was up with Jonah. Have you ever had a witnessing opportunity like stare you right in the face? I remember one time I was sitting on a plane and I was talking to the person next to me, and I asked them what they did for a living. They told me, and they asked me what I did for a living, which I always wait for that because it's always an open door to share the gospel. I said, "Well, I'm a Baptist preacher. I'm actually an evangelist, and I direct a Christian camp." And she stopped me and she said, "Could you please tell me, what's the difference between a Baptist and a Catholic?" Glory to God. Stared me right in the face. They opened up the opportunity. Well, that's what happened with Jonah right here. Man, they're shaking Jonah. They're saying, "Get up and pray unto your God. And can you tell us in verse 8 who you are? Why this evil is upon us?" And guess what? Jonah was able to. "What is your occupation?" "I'm a prophet of Almighty God." "What? Why are you doing this then? Why is this happening to us?" And it's like the door flung open for him to give the gospel finally. And then ultimately, we won't go into all the book of Jonah, but ultimately he finally went to Nineveh. He did it with a bad attitude, but God still prospered. And repentance came to the people of Nineveh. God showed his mercy on them and on Jonah, by the way. And finally, he woke up. But But I want you to notice a few things as we conclude. I think we need to awake up to having a tenderness towards lost souls. That means in our heart, we actually need to care for people. We need to reach out to people. We need to look at them as God looks at them. Jonah was falling asleep to that. Then we need to wake up to the fact that we need to talk to people. It's not just about being tender. Oh, let's just pray. We ought to pray for souls, don't get me wrong, and be tender. But if we're praying for souls, we ought to talk to souls. We ought to shine the light of Christ with our life, yes, but we ought to share the love of Christ with our lips. And God wants us to talk about Jesus. I think a lot of people don't talk about Jesus because they're nervous about whether they'll be able to defend what they say they believe. I think that's a real problem in our day. You better get into the Scriptures, memorize the Romans Road, memorize the Scriptures, be able to answer every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that lies within you with meekness and with fear. God's people need to not fall asleep to talking to people, opening up dialogues with people at work in our communities, and right around us in our families even sometimes are the hardest people to talk to. God wants to use you about His work. This is His will, that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God can use you to share the gospel. And then we can't fall asleep to the testimony that our life can be to lost souls. Verse 8 and following, there were several questions asked about the testimony of Jonah. I wonder if people ask the testimony of you, is it shining very clearly that you have a different God than they have? That you have a different pursuit than they have? I wonder, is your life a testimony? Is your life a life of praise of the gospel of Jesus Christ? So he obviously eventually woke up. He shared his God with these mariners. And in verse 10, it says, the men were exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew now that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. Then they said unto him, what shall we do unto thee? And then later you know that Jonah said, all right, I'm the problem. My sin's the problem. Throw me into the Mediterranean. And the sea got calm. Can you imagine those guys on board the ship at that point? I just happen to believe that those men on the boat came to know Jonah's God. That's what I happen to believe. And through Jonah's testimony, he finally woke up to his sin. He finally woke up to his God, and he had to be reminded of that later when he's in the belly of the whale, right? And then later on when he's complaining and griping, and God had to continually work on Jonah. He's a lot like you and me. And folks, it is time to wake out of sleep. The alarm is sounding. Don't hit the snooze. Don't be like my brother who can sleep through the war and sleep through God trying to get your attention. Don't sleep when God is trying to use you. Don't fall asleep to the word, the work, the will, and the wisdom of God. Don't fall asleep to your sin. The conflict that's, you got to war the war every single day. Confess your sin when you do what is wrong. The conviction of sin in your life. Wake up. Wake up to the souls of people. God has you here right now at this time, at this place, in this community, wherever you are, so that you can share your faith. Live your faith and shine the light of the gospel. It is time to arise and awake out of sleep. And again, if you're here without Jesus Christ, you need to wake up to the desperate plight you're in. Sin will send you to a devil's hell. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And there may be somebody here that sat in this church week after week, but you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm a visitor here today myself. I've just come in. I don't know who's new and who's not. There may be a first-time guest here today, somebody that's come in today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It is not through religion that we have a home in heaven. It is through a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you need to wake up. Wake up to the fact that Jesus loves you, died for you, rose again for you, and by faith, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. But Christian, arise and awake out of sleep. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Our Father, today, work in our midst. Help us to open up our hearts to the Spirit's leading and not fall asleep. Oh, not fall asleep physically, but spiritually. Lord, we ask you to reveal to us anything that we need to change. Any place that we don't know you the way we should. Any sin that needs to be confessed. Any soul that we need to pray for and share our faith with. Give us boldness to shine as lights for you in the coming weeks and months ahead. Lord, we desperately need a wake-up call. Help us not to hit the snooze button and spiritually just be lulled back into our lethargy, complacency, living lukewarm, casual Christianity. It is time to awake out of sleep, to do your work in our midst in this invitation. Bless Pastor now as he concludes this service with our invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pastor.